mean, iron sharpens iron is probably a little cliche, but it's true. I mean, we're going to challenge each other for sure. I think of how can I be my best self? And that's how I approach it usually. You know, every team has its unique things to it. Kevin and his staff, and then just being at Minnesota, there's no other choice for me at that point.
You're listening to the Minnesota Vikings podcast. I'm your host, Tatum Everett. We've got producer Jay Nelson here in studio. Gabe Henderson is off this week, and we've got Craig Peters in.
Hello.
Poor Gabe. Craigie. We're so excited to have Craig in here. Yeah, Craig, you know, you've been on before. We always love having you and your insight. So you are our co-host. We're happy that you're here. We also have a guest later on that we're excited to be talking to, because we haven't spoken to Chris Reed, newest offensive lineman for the Minnesota Vikings, since his opening press conference.
Yeah. So it's good to see him out. Good to see he and everyone on the field this time of year, and going through OTA practices, and get to know his backstory is so great, and it's just so cool, you know. I used to watch training camp practices when he was down at Minnesota State Mankato, and former college teammate of Adam Thielen. He competed in some throwing events against CJ Ham. Like, I mean, so there's some really cool backstory ties, and for him to get to come back to Minnesota after a couple years with some neat experiences. I mean, he was part of that Jaguars team that made it all the way to the AFC Championship, and then he's with the really good Indianapolis Colts offensive line last year. So he's bringing a breadth and depth of experiences, and just super friendly too.
Might be one of those signings that people aren't talking about but should be talking about.
I look at it and say everything that's old is new again for him, especially, you know, he's back in Minnesota. Like you said, the ties between Mankato and even the joint practices here, the Jacksonville team where they were around. Mm-hmm. I think for a guy like him, being able to come back to a place that's familiar, sounds like, you know, he's been to a couple of different locations so far in his career. I think if he gets back here and he can really solidify in that room as not only a role player, but somebody that really contributes on a day-to-day basis, I think you will get the best out of this guy who's going to want to stick here in a place that feels familiar to him.
Yeah, I mean, his face lights up when he's like, yeah, this was like really exciting for me and my family to be able to have this opportunity. And it's really neat to see him kind of start gelling with the teammates. And I know, Craig, you've been out at OTAs. And for me, I don't know about you, whenever I talk to people about the Vikings out in the community or fans or partners or whatnot, all they want to know is what's the mood like in the building? And that seems to be kind of the hot topic right here. So let me ask you, you were out at OTAs this week. What is the mood like out there?
Prior to this week, there's just a general energy of positivity that you can feel, and it kind of permeates through different walls and within the position rooms, the just zest and zeal, and almost everyone's learning something right now, you know, like school is really in session.
But I like that analogy.
Coaches are some of the most passionate teachers out there. And I'll challenge anyone who disagrees. I think the best coaches are the best teachers. Mm-hmm. So I think that they're having fun with this part too, and finally getting to work with these players that they've maybe seen a little bit on film and tried to evaluate. And now they're learning how they learn and how to help each player reach their maximum potential, because, you know, we're at 9 players right now. Mm-hmm. We have to be down to 53 by the season start, and then you have to round out your practice squad too, because you have to build that depth that's required in the NFL.
And Kevin O'Connell talked about that in his press conference this week too, when they were asking him kind of what's the vibe, what's the mood, what's your tone and what you guys are trying to set. He said even for him, he's having to learn at this point too, going, oh yeah, I can actually make the changes to the schedule on how we want to do this. And he's got to be in charge of the clock and everything else. So for a guy like him, not only are they implementing their own system, but he's also having to kind of go through the motions of, I'm looking to somebody else that's supposed to be their job. Oh, wait, that's my job. And so I think the tone with that, and I think he really emphasized the idea, like you were just saying, the classroom work is really important now that they're actually getting onto the field. They can start throwing some live reps out there. It kind of feels like spring ball for college, just at a pro level. And it's kind of weird. Spring ball was always, I think some people are kind of like, oh no, I got to do spring ball at times in college. And then there are other people who are like, I get to do spring ball. And I think the feeling right now with that energy is kind of the, I get to do this, you know, and they're excited to learn a new system, figure out kind of what their role is. They've got a new teacher in town, and we're at a point where I think all of the players are having to really dig into their playbooks, work with their coaches, build that chemistry, and really do some work that is going to be super important during the OTA part. But then once you get to mini camp and some of those other areas, this is the time where it's really important for them to really build that chemistry that they've started over the last couple months.
Yeah, absolutely. You finally get to see it start translating. You've got 2 more weeks of OTAs before you hit mandatory mini camp. And so, Craig, what is the team or this or coaching staff's goals during May? What do they hope to accomplish before you hit that mini camp?
You have to grasp who learns by listening, who learns by doing. I feel like a lot, like Coach O'Connell's talked about everything being from the neck up for the start of the program. And now I kind of view it as this stage is reinforced by doing, but all eyes are even beyond the rookie mini camp and toward training camp when it comes time to actually make this team the best it can be and ready itself for week one against, those Green Bay Packers.
Yeah. Oh, that's who's week
just
one?
Those guys.
Yeah, just those guys? Just those guys. Pesky Packers?
Yeah.
You know, one thing I thought was really interesting too, and this week in one of the press conferences, they were saying that one thing that is guaranteed is every year there will be a new team. There's always turnover. You never have every single player come back. You never have every single coach come back. There's always turnover. There's always change. And I think how they're able to transition here with some of the old dogs having to work with new people, whether it's rookies or free agents that came in. And I know that these guys are all professionals. They look at this and say, I know this is my job. This is what I'm supposed to do. But I think that there are some critical changes that have happened since basically January. And I think this time is where guys like Eric Kendricks is having to work with Jordan Hicks to try to figure out that whole chemistry and kind of how do you function? What do I do? You've got a guy like Reed who is just talking about walking in as a new guy, even though he's come from multiple systems and just trying to figure out, who am I working with? What are their personalities and how best do we function? So I think that to me is always what this time of year is about, is kind of how do we function together? But now on top of that, you have a brand new system for the first time in, 8 years. So there's just a ton of work to be done at this time of the year.
Yeah, I think Eric is going to love playing next to Jordan Hicks. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've had, both 2015 draft class mates and Jordan had played with Eric's older brother Michael in Philly, so they had kind of known each other, and now they just both have such a proven track record of being these great tacklers. And you look at how the Vikings have built things up front with adding Harrison Phillips to Dalvin Tomlinson, and I think that those two guys are going to free up those middle linebackers to go make a lot of plays. And then you look to the outside and you have Za'Darius Smith.
That's along the exciting with part, right?
Daniil Hunter. And Daniil did his first media session since, I believe, September. It's just so, almost unfathomable because he came out looking like this beyond mortal entity, and just, but so humble. That's what I love so much about Daniil, is somehow he's just so humble. But he actually said that the way the Vikings defense is looking so far reminded him a little bit of how Minnesota chose to do some things against Arizona last year in week 2. And he happened to have 3 sacks in that game. He didn't bring that up. I remember. He didn't bring that up.
Let's keep that going.
Yeah.
Keep doing that.
I think you combine him. I love Za'Darius Smith coming in with the meet at the quarterback 2.0.
Oh, yeah.
Harkens to the old days of the guys who really helped launch this thing. And really, really cool opportunity. I think that front seven is got so much experience and leadership that it, and then the secondary is working with veterans and newcomers as well, and ascending players that we need to make that next ascension too.
And the biggest thing too on all of these days is do not get injured. Do whatever you can just to survive. These are the time of year where this is the learning period. And do whatever you can just to stay upright. Do not, don't go to the ground. And please do not come off the field limping for whatever reason. It's just, it comes down to making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to learn, get out there, get the reps, get the mental reps going. And we'll go full boat at some point, coming up here at the end of the summer.
Yeah. And Chris even talked about kind of the gentleman's agreement.
He did. He did. That was a good conversation. I'm glad you asked that question. That was kind of funny because, people are looking at that line and they're looking at – you know, Daniil and Z, and they're like, wow, like this could be a very scary front. And so that's obviously what we want.
Yeah. They walk out with the white gloves, they shake hands and they bow, and then they walk to their side, and it's just like a sumo wrestler. They're like, here we go.
Yeah. You know, we want you guys to be good, but don't hurt each other, right?
That is correct.
There's a May civility and a you're still my teammate civility.
That is correct.
Yes. That's very, very true.
That probably goes out the window along about week one. So, and yeah, actually before that in camp.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, for these guys, this is all the putting the best foot forward and getting soaking in everything that they can with their coaches. Yeah. And then when everything really comes down to it, come training camp time, when everything's live go, that is when you really see you have a job to do. I have a job to do, but I have to do my job to the best ability. And that's where things really get real. But this time of year, it's just fun to see them all out there. It's fun to see them out there working, smile on their face, coming mm-hmm. back in, talking about how positive things have been. And I think that that's just overall for the culture of the, not only the team, but the organization. It's a fun breath of fresh air just to see how this is going to turn out.
As well as the leafy trees on the hillside.
There you
where
go.
It's finally springish.
Green grass.
Looks much better out there than a few months ago. That's for sure. Yeah, you can actually like get out there and get up a little sweat. I mean, the other day, getting a little sunburn, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to watch that one.
Don't hate. I'd rather be sunburned. But you talk about training camp, and I think the exciting news that really has come out most recently is that it's funny because we thought that we were rid of Davante Adams, and now we open up this preseason against the Raiders in Las Vegas, and we get to see none other than Davante Adams.
How about that?
Maybe for a couple of series, maybe nothing crazy, but it's an exciting way to open up the season in Allegiant Stadium. That's on Sunday, August 14th, and then obviously we'll head into the 49ers and end the preseason in Denver on August 27th.
Yeah, how about that?
Get to see Russell Wilson, maybe not at that point. It is the last preseason game. You might see him like one series, maybe.
I think teams are still trying to figure out how they want to use game three of the preseason slate.
Right, because it's not the fourth one. You're right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think it's also got to be something like it'll be weird for them because they'll have two games under their belt. I know George, I believe George had the attitude of, yeah, just get these guys healthy and get them out of here. You know, they don't want to have something like that happen. At the same point, if you get through two games and they're just not clicking, you might see him for a series or two just to get him some sort of reps. But I think that's always a crazy risk to take when it comes to those kind of games. But we'll see.
Yeah, the Russell Wilson in the orange era. You know, just
it's exciting three games. Like seeing those preseason games, I wasn't at all like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting.
And I think those will be the two most furthest west games.
That is such a weird scheduling quirk. I love all the schedule release and all the quirks that come out of it. And I mean, just the way the opponents shook out this year. Minnesota's as far west as the regular season goes. But then it also makes sense with us being kind of a centralized part of the country that we'd be heading toward the sands of Las Vegas, Jay.
At some point.
One of my favorite places. You can speak to it more than I can. But,
yeah, one of my favorite places. Yeah. Allegiant Stadium is pretty amazing. The great part is I believe the architects are the same ones that did U.S. Bank. If you go in there, you can see very similar features. One thing that they have with Allegiant Stadium is it's very very much an oval. And so but if you go in there and you really start to look at things like video board locations, the downtown kind of glass skyline area of the stadium, Allegiant Stadium is set up in many ways very similar to U.S. Bank Stadium. So it'll be fun, I think, for the team to get in there and really, really take a shot there. You know, we've got some people that used to work with us here in Minneapolis that help run Allegiant Stadium, and we've got some really fun tours and stuff that they've just kind of shown us. And I think it's a great stadium. It'll be a fun place to play for many years to come.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, speaking of seeing these guys hit the field and start playing, let's welcome in our guests, because I feel like we could talk about schedule release all day, but you guys probably want to hear from Chris Reed. He's a really great personality, somebody that really could solidify himself in the starting rotation potentially for this offensive line down the line. And we talked to Milam about that as well. And welcoming into the Minnesota Vikings podcast for the first time is Chris Reed, one of our newest offensive linemen, but no stranger to Minnesota. How's it being back?
It's great. You know, it's just, I missed out on some of the, you know, the weather. You know, I got here, it was 60 degrees and then it went down to 30 again. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Now I remember Minnesota.
Yeah. I kind of forget.
It's beautiful out. And then I'm like, I love the summers up here in the spring and especially the fall.
The spring? Did we have a spring?
Not really.
It's truncated.
I was wondering about that.
You blink, you miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you've got, you know, your wife is from here. A lot of ties here. As the excitement level kind of, has it gone up since you've been here and kind of been around this facility?
Getting the call that and signing and just all that excitement was, it's just kind of carried over. Like it's not really gone away. Is how I'd put it. Like, my teammates are up here. I have my school is an hour and 30 minutes away. My wife's family is an hour away. I know so many people in the cities that have been a big part of my life. So it's just really cool kind of coming full circle back to Minnesota.
Have you played at US Bank Stadium before?
I have a couple times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of my favorite stadiums in the NFL for sure.
Yeah, you were up here with the joint practices in the preseason to kick off 2018, I believe.
Yep. I was with Jacksonville at that time. I think we played that, and then we played one more time, I think, with the Panthers. We were up here
in
2020.
Oh, the no fan season? That must have been weird being in that stadium
with
no fans.
It definitely was. It was very, very quiet.
Very, very quiet. Well, you got the first week of OTAs in the books. You know, you've been with a few teams now, and how does it compare? Like, how does this one compare to the ones that you've done in the past?
It's very similar. I think We're taking care of each other well, you know, and it's hard to temper down football players, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but I think everyone's really being a pro, you know, and it's similar to other places I've been. And I really haven't had an OTA in the last 2 years, just with COVID. And then last year, you know, the players decided to do like a 2 week walk/jog through with Indy. That was really beneficial, but it wasn't, you know, a full, you know, 2-3 months mm-hmm. of a workout. So it's been really nice being up here, getting to know everybody, kind of bonding with teammates, getting to know the O-line, getting to know the offense. So it's been really awesome.
Yeah, as a newcomer, how do you establish that kind of trust with the defensive line? Say, I'm going to do this much right now. This is May. You know, we're not playing for the trophy in May. So yeah. I'll do me, you do you, but we'll reach this agreement.
Yeah,
right?
It's just about working together. And, you know, sometimes there's miscommunication or, you know, one guy goes hard and then you have to pick it up. And yeah, it's just a work. It's ongoing. It's an ongoing, like, just collaboration with the offense and defense. So, you know, as long and the key is just not to get anyone hurt right now. Like mm-hmm. no one necessarily wins a job in this type of environment, you know. We're here to learn, get better as a team and grow. And then when camp hits, that's when the competition starts.
You know, you're a new guy, but there are so many new faces around here, new coaching staff. Does that make it a little bit, I guess, easier to make that transition for you?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, every time I go to a new place, it's always you're learning so many things at once. So, you know, I've learned just to kind of, I know I'll look up the roster and just kind of remember names. I'm not the greatest with names of all time. So, and then you're also on top of the offense. You're getting to know the coaches, you know, the teammates, you know, the staff, you know, just the training staff, weight room staff. So there's just a lot of stuff that goes into it. And that's why I love being here in this offseason stuff, because I get to know everybody before camp. Mm-hmm. So it's been awesome.
Is it kind of comforting with so many of your teammates learning from new teachers too? So like everyone's learning together. Coaches know that they're doing a lot of teaching right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good to have a lot of different viewpoints, too. Everyone learns a different way, or maybe if a coach says it one way, but then an older player or even a younger player, I learned from younger players, too, that, you know, if they say it how they think about it, or maybe one or two more people actually then all of a sudden get it. And so that kind of back and forth with coaches and players is really, really helpful.
What kind of a teacher is your position coach, Chris Cooper?
Well, he's really good. He's very detailed. He's a player himself, so he has that type of language and knowledge to relay that to and relate a little bit to the players. It's nice because he's figuring it out as we figure it out as well. I mean, he knows it ahead of time, but it's like a collaboration again. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, he's teaching it, then, you know, one of us might say something that maybe hits his brain different, and he tries to teach it different ways so everyone can kind of get it at the same time. So he's been really good at it. And also Justin Riscotti has been very good helping out too. And sometimes I'll sit back there and just run ideas and thoughts by him, and he'll even things out for me, or, you know, maybe it clarifies something for someone else. So it's been really nice.
I mean, they're kind of like in the same generation as you too, right? I mean, they don't feel like they're that much older. It's like you have players who are like just with you, like a real collaboration.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's awesome. And as I get older in the league and I'm starting to get closer to coaches' ages, it's a little weird. I'm still a little bit of ways, but yeah, I know, just a little more common ground.
Just wait until you can be around long enough to look at the ages and the birth years of the roster and think back to the high school days when everyone on the roster was born.
Yeah,
it's a real trip.
No, that's true. I know right now when you look out at OTAs, you're looking at first team reps and what's going on, and you're in a little bit of a rotation right now with Jesse Davis. So does that kind of make you, I mean, you've been a fighter your whole career. Like, there's no lying. Like, you have worked your way to be in the NFL for the career of longevity. So now you're kind of here and you have some more competition. Do you like that kind of fuel to your fire?
Yeah, I think you always get, I mean, iron sharpens iron is probably little cliche, but it's true. I mean, you get the best out of each other when you have competitions like that. And I know Jesse, I played with him in 2019 in Miami. He's a great player, great guy. Yeah, I mean, we're going to challenge each other for sure. And, you know, like I said before, you don't win something here. You're learning, you're working together in camp when the competition starts. Even then, as an O-lineman, I never think of it as a competition with him. I think of how can I be my best self? And that's how I approach it usually.
You said in the opening presser, I thought this was really interesting, kind of indicative to I think what everyone has been saying about these guys, where the coaching staff is not a fear-driven system. It's an environment that fosters players taking over and growing. How has that manifested during the off-season training programs and now in OTAs?
I'd say just the back and forth between players and coaches. And, you know, I feel like I can walk up to, you know, Coach O'Connell or even Wes and just talk with them about a question I have or something, or even there's just like this communication that's just kind of ongoing and flowing through. And that's really how it kind of starts, you know. And then in season, you know, when players decide to do something, the coaching staff responds and listens, and kind of the other way around. And there's this that ongoing work and respect. Mm-hmm. It's not my way or the highway. It's, you know, how can we do this the best way, and taking answers from everybody and kind of putting that together. Yeah. And that's kind of how I see this team kind of developing right now.
Have you had that before?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year in Indianapolis, it was an older team, and that's how I kind of saw it. Everyone was working together to do what's best for the team, and the coaches listened to players. We had like a leader development team, and you know, they had, you know, the veteran guys on the team and guys who've been there a long time would meet with the head coach and discuss things, and you know, and anyone could ask them to bring a subject up when they would, and they talk about it. Mm-hmm. And then they just figure out a common point where, you know, this is what's best for the team and go from there. So that was kind of, and it's been here and there for other teams, but I think Indianapolis has really realized it.
When you were looking around, you know, like in this off season, trying to figure out where you wanted to go next, was that part of the decision coming here? Like, did that, knowing that environment or seeing firsthand that environment and thinking it could be that way here?
Yeah, it played a factor. You know, every team has its unique things to it. And I just think the culmination of Kevin and his staff, and then just being at Minnesota and like just all of that was just too good to pat. Like, there's no other choice for me at that point.
All right, Craig, we're going to end this one with a little bit of a more fun question. I think we're going to do some offensive line superlatives. I know you're the new guy around here, you know, but so far, I'm just going to throw out a couple of descriptives, and I want you to just think of the first person who comes to mind from the offensive line room.
Okay.
Okay. Who is the most talkative?
I think Brian O'Neill's can be a little talkative, but in a good way,
You know what? I think it's so funny because I think offensive linemen are either really big talkers or they don't say a word. there's both ends of the spectrum. Yeah. And there's very little middle ground. Like, mm-hmm. you're on the talker end of the spectrum, and that's great. It's awesome to welcome you into this space.
What he's trying to say is you make our job easy. Thank you.
and you don't hold it against the non-talkers.
No, you don't.
You just want to, like,
everyone's different.
Yeah, you just tell them. Show us your personality a little bit more, right? Come on.
It's hard to tell the story of the non-talkers. It's easier to tell the stories of the talkers. Yeah. So, but, you know, we like them all. But, you know, I was just thinking about that. Like, several years into this, there's definitely that position room, I think, has, like, the most defined.
Yeah. That's too funny. That makes sense. Speaking of funny, who's the funniest in the room?
Timon's got a laugh that just, as soon as he laughs, everyone laughs. I mean, it's kind of infectious in that way.
Okay.
So it's funny that you talked about the talkability of these guys, because my next one that I put on here was, who doesn't say much, but when they do, it's profound.
Okay, you can give us some
hard questions.
Just dropping
pearls of wisdom, right?
Yeah, right? Like, they may not say much, but then they're like Buddha, right?
I put Jesse in that category. I mean, he's quiet, but then he says something and it sticks with you a little bit, or it's funny, or it's just out of nowhere. But it's good.
Okay. Who has the cleanest locker?
Oh, I didn't even look at everyone's locker. Definitely not me.
I was going to say, you can nominate yourself if you want.
No. You know, I'll probably give it to Garrett.
Okay.
But I honestly haven't seen everyone's locker. So
well, then maybe
I
that's a good thing. Maybe it's not so noticeably bad, right? Like, they're all kind of technically clean.
Yeah, you're right. I haven't noticed any terrible lockers. They're all kind of okay.
Who is the biggest music fan?
You know, honestly, I don't know.
Do you guys pick jams for your room at all?
No, we don't listen to music in the O-line room. I'd say Garrett and Brian usually pick like the weight room music.
Gotcha.
You know, I say they kind of.
What are their, what's on their Spotify?
What was today? House, like house music, I think was today.
Oh, okay.
So that was,
wow.
It was a little, well, but I needed my glow sticks in the weight room today, basically.
Right?
That's good though.
It does get you going.
Yeah.
Do any of them have a secret talent?
Not that I've discovered yet.
Right. I mean, you just got to get it. You're just getting to know each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the rookies coming up, and we're getting to know the rookies a little bit. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what they bring and what talents they have. So it'd be another question to ask later on for sure.
Awesome. Well, I'll keep that in the bank.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you always have to put them on the spot for some talent show type.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, they've been doing great so far. So.
What do you think Fedarian's talent would be?
He's a parent, so I mean, probably a great dad.
He must be a great dad, right? Responsibility. That is what his talent is, because his story is so inspiring.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know the challenges of parenting. You have a little one too.
Yep, I do.
About to go on dad duty.
He's got two, and then I believe his brother. He's a guardian of his brother, so he said. So, I mean, he's got a full household and he's doing great, so.
You get to be a girl dad, though.
I do get to be a girl dad.
Get to be, yep.
No, I'm very lucky, and she's amazing. So
it's nice to have some family help, though. If you guys are up here, right? I mean, you don't have to do it all on your own
anymore. It is, yeah. Currently, my mom is down watching her right now, nice. So I get to go join her and help out and be a dad. So I'm excited about that.
That's really fun. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Chris, for being here, because we just appreciate your time. We're so excited to have you here and to see what's next for this team as it continues to form, right? We want to encourage fans to look up all of the training camp dates, because that's what you want to see. You like seeing fans in the training camp stands, right?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you have up close and personal views in your past of training camp. Have you gotten the sideline pass, gone and checked out the action, checked out what Thielen was doing?
Uh-huh. I'm a little sad it's not Mankato anymore.
Yeah.
But these facilities are amazing, so I see why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Jake's pizza order, what you got? What are you getting?
Oh, man, I can't remember all their pizza orders. It feels like it's been so long. I'm like a sausage mushroom like pizza guy. Okay. So classic. I'd probably go classic, a little bit of that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, excellent. Well, when you're on there, on the field, watching – the preparations are for an NFL season, and now you think, and you're preparing for yet another one for you. Like, I mean, do you think back to those days? Do you remember those days at training camp and laugh? Like, what keeps you going through the hard times, the dog days of training camp?
Yeah, I think it's teammates. Yeah. It's knowing that, like, when you're going through and it's just a tough day, and maybe you messed up a couple times, and just, you know, everyone else is there too. They're in the same spot you're in. They're working the same amount of work. Like, that's what makes great teams, is realizing that. And it's something special that not everyone gets to experience. So going through it with teammates is kind of that key.
Well, it sounds like you got a good group in there. Yeah. You guys are getting along, and wish you all the success this season.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. I thought it was hilarious when you were talking to Chris about the personalities of offensive linemen. Because, I mean, he's a quiet guy, but he's a talker.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like he might be in the middle a little bit. I don't know.
Maybe so. Just
but you
might,
were right.
Might depend on the day. I just 10, 12 years of doing this, yep. there's offensive linemen that really enjoy speaking and talking, and then there's offensive linemen that's not their bag. And, you know, you understand that. You try to make it all work. Obviously, it makes it easier on us when we have to tell stories they're willing to share their stories. So it's interesting. I thought that his intro press conference was just so dynamic and engaging and fun, and just he had that energy at the podium too, and like the really cool connections to Minnesota, and how
really
his wife and her family really kind of looped him in on being a fan of the NFL. He hadn't even watched that much growing up. Always funny to me to hear like folks that have multi-year careers in the NFL that really didn't center on that from the get-go. So, but it's super cool. I'm sure that there'll be fixtures at training camp too, with Rochester being so close. And
you gotta imagine that for sure. So, that'll be really, really neat.
I think he had fun with that too, like thinking about like which guys are at each end of the spectrum too. So, and you had some awesome questions to get to know the rest of the group better. Too.
Now the thing is, I think you have to get more than just Chris. Now you got to do some.
Oh, I may have to start a whole series on this.
That's the thing. Now you got to start getting them talking about Chris. You know,
that's
what's
true.
Chris's quirks.
But that's true.
I think that's the. You're both right in that. Offensive linemen, you typically are the speak when directed to, like, you know, kind of a thing. It's like, go grab a shovel, start digging, like, do your job, kind of an attitude. But these guys all have personalities too, and so for a guy like Chris, who's the new guy to come in and do this, was very, very helpful. So thank you to Chris for taking the time to do that.
I love it. I mean, I'll say this, like, we are pretty lucky to be able to get these guys on a regular basis to be on the podcast, to come in and have these conversations and get to know them. Like, they are very much opening up to us, and you know, as fans, you start to, you know, like, you may want to root for Chris just a little bit more because you've heard his story, which I think is so neat. And really one of the more like rewarding parts of the job, for sure. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. It's just so much fun to be able to share their stories, relay their backgrounds, try to combine the helmet on and the helmet off content.
For sure. And speaking of content, you guys are super busy. I mean, you're trying to catch your breath from draft party or just the draft in general.
Draft, yeah.
Then you had the NFL schedule release and you've had OTAs.
It becomes more elaborate every year, right?
Everything is a spectacle.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, we're so fortunate to be in a league that people care about so much.
Yes.
Even 4 months before the opening kickoff, you know, I always really take a moment, even when things are busy, to just appreciate the fact that fan support is so great for the NFL and the Vikings, because it allows us to do something we love so much.
Yeah, and that involves also the Getting Open series that you're. Colleague Lindsay is doing right now and making an impact in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the more recent features she's done has been on former Vikings offensive lineman Mike Harris. And he had a medical condition where he had to step away from the game, and it had never been previously diagnosed. Went through a really rough patch. You know, if you think about something you love so much, and I mean, things were really ascending for him too, Jay. I know you remember how everyone in the building was excited about the steps Mike was taking on the gridiron. So then it's gone, you know,
flash,
from him.
Yeah.
And so he went through a spell where he's learning, where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. You know, and now he's found ways to be connected to the game. And Lindsay told it so carefully and artfully, and has received feedback from others, including a family going through a very similar medical condition. And they're trying to get the help that they need for that family member. And it's just like, if that story helps that one family,
yep.
I mean, it's hard to say. It's just so great that the platform can help others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the ultimate goal of this entire piece, is try to help people understand, like, you're not alone. And for a guy like Mike, you know, I was here during the recording, and after the fact we were talking as well. And just, I think the hardest thing when you're those guys is you didn't do anything wrong. yet you still lost the thing that you love. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of the now what, you know? And I think for even a guy like Mike, who was as young as he was, found out about this condition and just wants to be able to continue to do those things. And I think if you're somebody like that, who's, you know, the alpha of the alpha, the one of the 1%, and you get to that point, and then to have something so small that's like a millimeter off be the thing that keeps you from doing that, I think there's a lot of questions. And, but, you know, I think there's a chance for potential bitterness and those kind of things. And I think that is a piece that you have to process for the rest of your life, just to try to find a way to be okay with it. And I think once, you know, Mike now has figured out, between the treatment that he needed to try to help him as much as he can, finding other support groups, finding other people that he can work with, finding other groups and things that help give him purpose, that is the thing I think that's going to help him long term. Even having somebody reach out and say, hey, we're going through something similar, can you help us out? I think it at least helps him provide some sort of hope from the situation, to say, here's what I went through, here's what you can kind of expect, but here's something that even I'm going through still. And I think in general, every single episode, you're going to be able to extrapolate something from those episodes to know that it's helping multiple people. And it's also to the point where the NFL is retweeting things that are coming out of this series. Mm-hmm. I think that just helps show how impactful this can be, not only for our organization and the people involved, but all across the league and all across the world who pay attention.
Yeah, a big shout out to Lindsay Young for doing that. No, she was on the podcast last week talking about it. And we also props to Jay for the audio elements. Absolutely. Because that's such a neat touch that I think you guys have added. There's also something exciting going on right now within our walls.
The Vikings are hosting for the first time ever a diversity coaching summit. And this was the brainchild of assistant head coach Mike Pettine back in 2020 when he was still with the Green Bay Packers, and COVID hit, so he didn't get to put his idea in motion. But they went through a rigorous selection process, identified 12 candidates to come in for a three-day experience. The coaches are almost all the participants working in college environments, and they're trying to work their way up the coaching ladder. And Coach Pettine was talking about how hard it is sometimes to if the pipe doesn't have the water in it, that's, you know. And so, like, this is designed to hopefully be a launch point that other teams can follow across the league and really increase opportunities for folks who may have been overlooked in the past, who have put forth good work. I think it was important that they went through, and they were so meticulous in identifying the people and bringing them in. The participants are going through, sit through meetings. They make presentations. They're on the field for an OTA practice. Their presentations are going to be recorded. They're going to receive written feedback. Mm-hmm. And the networking component of the coaching industry too is really important. So our coaches here can really connect and put that face, put that teaching style or that personality or that grasp of a system and ability to relay it, and they'll always remember that. And that stands out so much stronger than the number of resumes that would just definitely just come in. So that they have to pop in this industry, and the connections help so much. So props to Coach Pettine for envisioning this. Mm-hmm. Props to the participants for chasing their dreams.
Yeah.
And really going forward. And to the Vikings organization, I know Eric Kendricks asked him about it too, and he thought it was so cool that the organization is putting this in motion to increase opportunities.
And I think if you're one of those university or college coaches, you just look at this as a peek behind the curtain of, you know, what you're in a similar profession, but this is kind of how we do it here. What can I take from that and go back? It's almost like a spring internship for those coaches to be able to go back and not only think about how can we potentially do things a little differently where we are, but then even something for their future, just to have aspirations and goals. And if they want to work their way into working into the NFL or wherever else, however they would want to do it, just gives them another opportunity, as like you said, networking, but also just to create some new ideas on something that they're already currently doing.
It was also great because Mike Pettine is a name that people recognize in the NFL as a former head coach. He comes in with a huge resume. He's been in Minnesota now for a while, but we've never really heard from him. We haven't heard his thoughts and everything. So being able to hear him talk the other day and to understand what his passions are and his motivations, I think personally that was kind of what I was most excited to see, as well as the ability to make this opportunity happen, which is pretty cool.
There was a great authenticity in what he said. You could tell it was coming directly from his heart. And you can also get a window into why it was so important for Coach O'Connell to hire Mike Pettine, and bring him in as an assistant head coach. Going back to their time when Coach was still a QB and Mike Pettine was a coach with the Jets. So they had some overlap there and really connected. And I think that the wealth of experience that Coach Pettine can add to a first year head coach is going to be something that's going to be relied on, and it's awesome. I know that Coach O'Connell wants to do things his own way, and like you were saying, he's learning it is his way now, right?
That's just it.
He is the highway, right?
Yeah.
Like
you can lay the groundwork for the highway. Yeah. This is your ability to pave the road.
Yeah. So, but I think that, you know, having someone that's been in your shoes down the hall that you can call and ask about anything, and then not be afraid to either implement what they tell you or say, you know, I've thought it over. I appreciate what your perspective is, but maybe I'll try this instead. And I think that that's kind of part of the culture that's really been emphasized here too, is like evaluate ideas, listen, hear, and then decide. And it's kind of the way that Kwesi kind of went through the draft to pull it in as many perspectives as possible, but somehow being able to sort through that information, prioritize it to match what he felt ultimately was best.
And a guy like Pettine also is paying dividends. And when they went and brought in Shannon Sullivan and Za'Darius Smith, you know, having familiarity with those guys, they're willing to come here. And they even cited having a guy like, you know, Pettine in the building to help ease that and make it attractive to come here to Minnesota. So I feel like, again, this goes back to all of the collaborative stuff that's been talked about. You've got these new guys coming in here with this new attitude. And I think having a guy like Mike here is going to show dividends in multiple ways, not just on the field.
Yeah, it feels very intentional. A lot of these signings, now that you kind of have a couple months to let them sink in, a lot of these coaching hires, the way they've put things together, I think the word that always comes into my mind is intentional.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's nice. It's refreshing.
Yeah, and I think that they frequently explain the why.
Yes.
When they're in meetings. And I think that's also an important component, just because if it is something new, well, why are we doing it this way? Okay.
I get it.
Yeah, that makes more sense. All right. Well, even though I haven't done that before, I guess I'm going to give this an open mind and full heart.
Shows purpose.
Yeah.
It just shows that it's not just lip service. There is a meaning and a reason behind it. And I think with all these guys in the building, they're probably going to look at it and say, just give me a reason why we're doing this work and show me where it's going to pay off. And then we'll go do it.
And I love all of that so much. I'm just hoping that it yields results, right? At the end of the day, that's
everybody
all we
does,
need. We just need some wins, right?
Yeah, and I mean, you can look back to Kendricks the other day during his media session. And I mean, he was not shy about saying that he wants to win.
he really wants to win.
You know, so it's like whatever he can do to help, whatever the team can do to help, I think that like everyone's on the same page there. And there's a good culture in place that Coach O'Connell was even appreciative and said, like, I've inherited several great players to help me get this thing going.
You always hear about the rookies and everybody talking about, I just want to stick around and get my second contract. When you're around for a while, a guy like Kendricks, you start seeing kind of eventually the end of the line. You're like, I don't care. I just want to win. You know, how many times do we see guys take pay cuts to go play for the Patriots or something to walk out with a ring for their career? That is something they're trying to build here too. So I'm hoping that between guys like Kendricks and Hicks and even Za'Darius or Daniil, with those two guys having gone through some injury stuff, like they can talk about how precious a resource the time is for your career. And hopefully everybody gets in the same boat and starts rowing.
Row the boat.
Yeah, that works for the Vikings too.
All right, it does. It totally does. On that note, we'll wrap things up here. Thank you so much to Craig Peters for being on the podcast this week.
Oh, it was such a great time. Look forward to it next time too.
Thanks, yeah, Craigie. Your insight is always great. You can catch his work on Vikings.com or log on to the app. you know what? I think one out of three chances is his article. I'm just All right. Well, for Jay Nelson, Craig, and Tatum. Well, I'm Tatum for myself, I guess.
Yeah, that's you.
You know, great way to end things. We're ending on a high note. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.